Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson. You're listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. We have a great day planned for you, some great topics. If you're joining us today for the first time, we're actually in our Babylon series. This is week two. And last week, Angie Preston brought the message. And as we dig into that, let's let you know who's here at the table. Over to my left, I have
Jacob Krotzenberg,
Angie Preston,
Michael Erdman.
I am loving this series. I am loving getting back into the story of Daniel. Daniel is epic. Like, I love it. There's so much in the book of Daniel. And this last week, we just talked about this moment where Daniel and the boys, they have to make a stand right off the bat. So, Ange, will you give us kind of a recap of Sunday and maybe, you know, how did you think it went and what else would you like to say about that?
Yeah, it was a really great topic, and I think every time I've preached, it's been one of those that I needed to really address some things and study and also get myself handed to me a little bit spiritually. And an exercise of obedience. Wow, was this an exercise of obedience? Hey, have the congregation get up and move. That was weird.
Yeah.
Do uncomfortable things and say things that are hard and yell at people. Ooh, yeah. I'm loud a lot. You guys know that. I am a loud, silly person, but to like...
I know that's way out of your comfort zone.
The volume level was really intense, and it came out naturally because it's real.
And it was an awakening call, which it was a spiritual call.
Absolutely.
Which I know that whole thing is... Just that whole moment is probably pretty uncomfortable for you. So well done to be obedient in the moment.
Yeah. So just a super fast recap on the content. I went over Daniel 1 verses 8 through 21. And so this is kind of that moment in history where Daniel and his friends, they're in captivity, not because of their sin, but because of generations before them. And the king gives them a choice. Well, the king doesn't give them a choice. The king kind of re-identifies their whole life and reorients their whole life, the food they eat, what they're learning, actually gives them new names. Mm-hmm. And they decide as a small group to come against that and in a respectful, and that was shocking.
Weird. To be
super,
honorable
and respectful of your leadership.
In the midst of your rebellion to be, you're like, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. Honorably disobedient. Yeah.
Yes. So requesting different food, and that shifted the trajectory of the rest of Daniel.
Yeah.
And so that small decision to just ask for different food shifted the way that they handled things. So It was really good to just dig into that and understand that every decision that we make doesn't just impact that tiny moment. It has big, long-lasting effects for yourself and sometimes other people. Those moments of action or inaction shift the trajectory of other people's lives.
Yes.
And so the both and, I think, is really important to talk about that. Yes, those four made the right decision. They were being faithful, they were being honored by God, and they and their peers were also being punished for the sins of generations before them. And so, yes, we can be honorable and do the right thing and also live in a world that is full of sin and crazy nutso land. So,
Something to lean into there is that it would have been more common. This is kind of across the world in that time and era, but when you would conquer somebody, you would wipe out their
history,
their heritage, their religion, everything. And
these guys were the test pilots.
Which is incredibly wrong. I mean, we'll just say it that way. It's offensive. It's wrong to come in.
And that's the way that you can conquer.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way that you can...
How else do you conquer?
Your power gets bigger and bigger.
You assimilate them into everything you are. And then if they don't do it, you kill them. That's kind of... That was the option of the time.
Super messed up and super effective.
They want to consume them. So Babylon is going, I'm going to come in. I'm going to consume you. If you don't agree, we're going to kill you. If you do agree, you're going to have to do everything our way. You're going to get new names. You're going to worship our gods. You're going to eat our food. You're going to do everything we do. And that just adds to the weight of what's happening with Daniel, because here's what I can do and here's what I can't do.
Yep.
And he's like, here's what God says I can't do, and I'm not going to dishonor him. in this environment. And I think this applies to us so much today is we live in environments and we have to deal with environments around us, whether it be our workplace, our culture at large, or whatever, where it is worldly, it is sinful, and we need to be in it, but we also can choose not to follow that. So
totally, and where's our heart?
Yeah.
And that's what I think so cool is, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had control of every aspect of his life and that whole generation of young elites, we'll say. But Nebuchadnezzar did not have control over his heart. And so that's...
I love that. Yeah.
Where is our heart? I mean, we have more freedom, way more freedom than, you know, living under someone else's rule, but there are certain situations and circumstances we don't have control over.
Absolutely.
And we have control over where our heart is. And I think keeping that integrity line tight is really important. And sometimes that's the part that gets loosey-goosey because we have to, air quotes, participate in certain things. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any business. So get out of those things.
Right.
We don't have to necessarily be disrespectful, but get out of the things that you don't need to be involved in. Like, why are you inserting yourself into those relationships, conversations, workplaces? Like, why are you working for the devil? Like,
right.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
Like, just leave.
Yeah.
You know, yes, you're getting a pay cut and leave.
There's sometimes when you need to get out of the
absolutely
atmosphere you're in and not play the ride the fence.
Yeah.
Jacob, I think you said the fence is super uncomfortable anyways. Yeah, pick a side.
Yeah.
Pick
and
side.
Who was that? Somebody said, it was Heather. She said Satan, dang it. She said Satan rules the fence.
Mm.
She said it way cooler than that.
Yeah.
It was good.
We'll have to go back. They could go back to last week and take a listen to that.
No, it was a...
You'd mentioned a correction that you wanted to make. Do you want to jump in on that?
Totally.
And then we'll dig in more?
Yeah, for sure. So I made mention toward the end of my sermon about Daniel serving two kings. And it was actually just the end caps, the beginning and the end. He actually served under four and maybe five kings. So,
we know that there's a whole story with Nebuchadnezzar's son, and that's a good story we'll get to later on in this part as well, because he was a bad dude.
Bad dude.
He was a bad king. But so I'm wondering, just based on what we're talking about, and we can go into this with all of us, but I was thinking about our teens. How much in their friend group, in their school, in their job environments, are they constantly being pushed to kind of like, for lack of a better term, lie, cheat, steal, or lose their integrity, or there's always this influence. And I know for me, I was thinking about this, man, when I had my first few jobs, I had this job called Pet Care Company. That was like one of my first jobs. And I was just a retail pet store. And my buddy got me a job. And we had a bunch of teen managers. They were only a little bit older than us. And they were so corrupt. They only had been there. They only got the management position because they'd been there longer than everybody else. And it was like beat by default.
They didn't quit.
They didn't quit. But they were kind of scumbags. And they would do things improperly or wrong. And then they'd always push it on to somebody else. Or they'd always trying to wrap you into their little scheme. And so I have all these memories at that job and other initial jobs where you're constantly being challenged to do things wrong. Like, hey, why don't you hold on to this lie? We're going to tell the general manager this, or we're going to do this. And I remember facing that conflict as a teen in my first jobs and having to, similar to Daniel, not nearly as a significant moment, but we know that it happens in the moment. Jacob, what you were saying, like, no decision is insignificant. Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, every decision has some form of consequence, whether it's in the now or whether it's in the later, whether it's in the good or whether it's in the bad. Every little thing you're doing, every habit you're building, every decision you make, every word you say, like it has an impact somewhere in your life, but you get to choose where that impact is going to lie.
And one of the most heartbreaking things I know for me is when I don't honor God, I actually dishonor myself and I feel really sick when I make a bad decision. Yeah. So I remember I've had both good and bad moments in my years of teens, like being in those jobs, because I know there was times where I stood up and I was like, no, we're going to be honest. No, we're going to tell the truth here. No, I'm going to do my job right. I'm not going to cut corners. I'm going to, you know, whatever. And then there was times, I'm sure, when, because I remember the feeling of like how that made me feel really fulfilled when I was honest and integrous. And then when I wasn't, how that made me feel like trash and it made me feel sick and I'm like a slime ball, you know? And I think about this in this part of the story of Daniel, that right off the bat, they decided they would walk in integrity. Yep. And so
how
I'm wondering,
are we gonna do this enslavement thing?
Yeah.
How are we gonna roll
exactly
with this?
I'm kind of wondering, because I know people out there listening and I know people were there for Sunday and they, I'm sure, have all kinds of memories, but let's go around. You guys have memories or moments where you've been hit this crossroads of decision of, will I honor God in this moment and do what's right, or will I not?
I don't. My first jobs were all like farm jobs or horse jobs or something, so it was pretty straightforward. But I remember a point in my life, it was probably 15 years ago now, that I was working at a youth camp type thing, and I'd been praying for this. I'd been involved for years, and God kind of opened the doors for me to really be involved and in the middle of all of the planning and the services and bringing the youth in, and it was amazing. I was so overjoyed. And I was with a really close friend that was running it, and as I got into it a year or so down the road, I happened to stumble across some teaching that was being done to the kids, the youth. And I heard it, and I immediately had this check, like, that is not right. We can't tell the kids this. Like, I need more information, and we shouldn't be telling teenagers this stuff that is not, it doesn't sound biblical at all. And so I struggled with that, and I just couldn't shake the feeling that this is not something we can bring to the youth. This is not something we need to, as leaders, discuss this. And so I went to my friend, and we had started talking, and we completely disagreed about what was being brought. And the more I got into it and the more research I did, the more I realized that this was not good. And I ended up having to follow the conviction that was in my heart. And I told him respectfully, I said, here's what I have to do. I have to let the other pastors that are involved here know. I have to let this happen, and I'm not going to sway anybody one way or the other, but I have to step out of this. And so we did. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, because it was a friend. It was a very mm-hmm. dear friend. And we got done with the meeting. It ended up that pretty much the rest of the pastoral team pulled out as well.
Wow.
And they heard what was going on, and they pulled out, and they continued to try the camp, and it ended up being sold out from just completely underneath everything that was going on, shut down and over, and it's been done since that point. And so,
yeah, I guess, and that's a really great example. I was thinking about Daniel and his friends and how you had mentioned this, but they actually were exalted later on. And that doesn't always happen. I was thinking about, as you were talking too, sometimes we get the bad end of the stick in that situation. I remember when in those teen jobs of my early years, I was an outsider because of the walking in integrity. I was known as the weird dude, or like, don't include him in things, and got excluded from things, or you might lose relationships or friendships. But then there's also times where, you get exalted or you get honored, or you never know. Like, Mike, what I'm thinking about for you is that brought some accountability. And at the very least, I hope those people considered what you said, or maybe that replayed in their head. And you never know that 20 years down the road, they might repent for that belief system or what they taught.
I have no, you know, further knowledge of what came about from all of what was happening. But I do know that not standing up would have left a feeling in me that I couldn't have lived with.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
what's the generational impact of all of those teens receiving that?
Even walking
doctrine.
Through that, as hard as it was and as sad as it was, and losing the relationship ultimately and the position that I'd been praying for years, I was able to be at peace in my heart. Yeah. I was able to be like, I'm glad I listened to God in this, and I guess I'll just see what the next thing is he has.
And yeah. You made me think about something else. I think about a lot of the workplace. That's where I've encountered this the most. And I have known people personally that have lost their jobs because of walking in integrity. And I want to encourage those out there. You might be in that situation right now. And what I've seen with people is when they choose to walk in integrity, they almost get a promotion. Like, I've seen them lose jobs and then God open a door somewhere else where they go, wow, that I'm so glad. Not only did I walk in integrity and stand up for my convictions and beliefs and honor God, but now I'm in the better place than I was before. And it was honoring God that ultimately closed the door in that situation and God opened another avenue. So anyways, I was just thinking about that. Jacob, go ahead with your example.
Yeah. So I actually thought of another one while you were talking, but I'll go with a more lighthearted one.
Or you can do both.
Yeah. So you mentioned like having team members and managers who like wanted to cut corners and like do things the wrong way. Well, I have a side job working like serving tables just because I enjoy taking care of people. But like oftentimes we'll get a new server and I'll be training them and it's like their second day of training is like, oh, so-and-so told me to do this. And I'm like, don't do that. That's lazy. I mean, like you're never, no matter if you want to get out here 5 minutes earlier, you are never too busy to do things the right way.
Yeah. Amen.
And so they always take that to heart. It's something I've always learned too, is that it's called the difference of 1 degree. And the example is like, you're a pilot, you're taking off from LA, you're flying to New York, but you shift 1 degree and then you just keep flying. Well, you fly the same amount of hours, you're going to end up in like South Carolina.
Yeah, seriously, totally different. Totally different.
Yeah. And one degree does not look like a big difference, but down the road, it makes a huge difference. So that applies to our faith, that applies to the church, that applies to working in a restaurant. The one where it hit that I had to make a difference spiritually, like because I had to stand up for what was right for the people we were put in charge of as pastors, is we took our kids to youth camp, summer camp, 1 year, and we had a leader for some of our girls that was not from our church, and this person decided to discuss some things that were not appropriate with our kids. And so when I was made aware of this, I could have said like, oh, sorry, that's a weird situation to be in. But I said, no, I needed to protect you guys spiritually, but I also need to make sure that this person is removed from this situation. Mm-hmm. So I immediately went to the top of the top and said, we need to do something about this right now. And I mean, they still had to go through that, but like, what could it have been if I didn't say anything?
Yeah, or who did you save in the future?
Right.
Like, if that person thinks it's okay to do the things they did, then and it wasn't, there was no accountability, they would keep with that behavior and potentially harm other teens in that same way. And so I think about that. I also was thinking about in our stories and with Daniel that God rewards those who honor him. And regardless of where what the reward is or where the situation ends up, like honoring God brings honor in yourself, even if it's not in that specific workplace or that specific situation. Also, there's trust. When I know people are integritous, even in the midst of difficult decisions, that's the people I want to work with.
Totally.
Those are the people that I'm going to trust because I'm like, hey, you know what? When like the going gets tough, like, this person's going to stand for integrity and honor God even in the midst of that. And it's like, that's the kind of team I want to be in. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm going to be a Debbie Downer here go the opposite way.
Give us about a bad example.
I'm here to bring some sad truth. My preface to this is saying, as I'm listening to all of you guys tell your stories, I see where I screwed up. And I also see where I've been given multiple second chances and chosen the right way.
Yeah, that's cool.
And also, you said, these are the people that I want on my team. I immediately think I am the first one to be like, this is where I blew it. Here it is. Like, I screwed up and I'm owning it because I totally bombed. Yeah. And so I think there's something to say that to that too, of like, when you do screw up, don't hide it.
Yes. And expose, I talked about that in the previous week. That's repentance.
Yep.
Like, so living a life in keeping with repentance.
And it might take a couple of times. Like,
yeah.
I'm a slow learner. Sorry, that's okay. I screwed up again.
The point is you don't keep sweeping it under the
totally.
Rug. You
expose
start to
it.
Expose it into the light, and yep. then it loses
you
that
change.
Power over
definitely.
You. Yeah,
definitely.
But
so my example is this. I worked at an awesome outdoor education facility, and it was incredible. I got to teach kids about nature, and it was amazing. And through that process, I got hired on as like an AmeriCorps volunteer, and that experience was also awesome. And slowly, my boss gave me more responsibility, and it felt awesome to have more responsibility. But what I realized a little too late was I was doing his job for him. And he was getting, you know, basically the roles were reversed. He was exceptional at what I was supposed to be doing. And I was, you know, okay at doing his job. And so we just flipped.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally realized that and got mad.
Yeah.
Oh, I was hopping mad. And I let him know. It felt great. But I was mad at myself because there were so many things that I should have said no to at the very, very beginning of like, mm-hmm. oh, admin stuff. Yeah, I'm good at that. I'll do that. Well, let me show you how to do it. And then you're still responsible. Yeah. You still have to do your job.
Yeah, you do your job and they do their job.
It's enablement in a very bad way.
Yeah.
And so after I left, he ended up leaving the position. I don't know if he got fired or if he stepped down, but you know, I know that he's still incredible at what he's incredible at. But he also has room to grow, and I had room to grow in that situation also, that I should have said something at the very beginning, and it was above him.
Yeah. And you did have a moment of blow up, right?
Oh, later dude, on. I lost it.
Yeah.
That's
the fail. You got to talk about the fail.
Oh, yeah.
So people
well,
know.
The fail was I lost my biscuits on this guy. I mean, it was in
because you were doing his job.
I was totally doing his job, and he was getting all the accolades for it. And I was actually like making things awesome and efficient and like rocked.
Yeah.
I nerded out hardcore, and he was getting the reward.
And
I'm like,
his job.
I'm an AmeriCorps volunteer. Yeah. I'm getting paid peanuts and like, yay.
Yeah.
And so I just totally lost it and sinned big time with my mouth. And
it's a great way to say it.
I sinned really big with my mouth a lot for a lot of hours.
Yeah.
So.
But it's a great, I mean, look at where you've come because of learning from
and
an
I
example
think
like that.
That is an opportunity where I said yes to a job here. I was volunteering here, and it's just really cool to see how God works and how he moves. And
yeah.
Well, and something I think is important for especially believers to weigh is, Shane, earlier you were talking about like, I've seen people with high integrity who may have lost that job and got into a better one. Well, maybe you won't.
Yeah, totally.
And
but you still get
legit.
To walk in integrity.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah. What?
When are you being rewarded? Now or in the future?
It may be both, but it may
not.
Maybe
not. Maybe
you won't be.
I mean, in heaven, you will be rewarded
exactly,
for your integrity.
Exactly. Like, it all depends on where you put your faith, where you put your hope.
Where do you put
your
treasure?
Find your reward? Yeah.
That's what Jesus said. Don't build your treasure here on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal,
but
build your treasure in heaven.
It's important for believers to weigh that because even though you made the right decision, things might still turn out terrible for you.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the same point in time, it's interesting because in Mark, Jesus talks about this because he's talking to the disciples and the disciples are like, dude, we gave everything up to follow you. And he's like, and he like prophesies this thing over them of like, you will be rewarded. You'll be rewarded here on earth as well as in heaven and blah, blah, blah. And so he does, the reward is guaranteed. What isn't guaranteed is exactly how it's going to manifest or where, but God will reward us at some aspect. But here's the point is, do we really even do it for the reward? No.
No.
Like, we do it because we love God and we want to honor him. That's as simple as it is.
I'm giving a kid example for this reason because probably kids aren't listening. They probably, this would be boring. But as a middle schooler, I still had to ride the school bus. And our bus driver was not a kind person. He was just a grumpy grump. Yeah.
Been
he was
driving
just
too
he
long.
Just, he just needed to retire. And I wrote him a note and I explained that he needed to be kind to the little kids. And I mean, my heart was in the right place. Wow. My inner justice meter was like, red flag, like this is unacceptable. And so I will never forget, my vice principal calls me down from the office. I mean, I thought I was damned to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, Angie Smith is getting called to the principal's office. I am going to die. Man. Or someone died. And so he sits me down and he has the biggest smile on his face. And you can tell, like, as a parent, I know it, of like, I have to reprimand you. And this is the funniest thing. I'm trying to hide all of my emotions.
Can can I spank you while laughing?
Yes,
is that
exactly.
weird?
Is that weird? Yes. So he continues to tell me that I cannot reprimand the bus driver, but I know that I did the right thing. Did I do it in the, you know, in the right way? Probably not. Like, I have no right to tell an old man what to do, but he also is accountable for his actions. And to be unkind to someone just because you're a grumpy person, there's a problem with that.
Kids.
Yeah,
right,
totally. And it was like the little kindergartners, you know, they can't defend themselves. So I'm a middle school girl. I'm going to totally
defend
you.
I'm going to stand up.
Yeah. But it's those moments as a child that build your integrity.
Yeah, totally.
Those are those moments as a child that build your faith. And I think of Daniel in this moment of the food, of like, that is so insignificant and so stupid. But those are the things that you look back on and say, I made the right decision.
What it started.
He maybe didn't have the right to ask for what he asked, but he had the responsibility to ask what he asked.
And started, we're going to talk about that because it started something way bigger from that moment. But Mike, you were going to jump in on this, and I want to make sure and give you that opportunity.
It's kind of back with the integrity. What is the reward? You may not find a reward per se, but as believers, Jacob, you were hitting something incredibly important. Is our society, American society, our cushy society, we look for rewards in materialistic things or a job or a status or
now.
Yeah, and I want it now. But the thing as a follower of Christ that we don't really understand or give enough credit to, I think, is I can actually live with myself.
Yeah.
I have peace in all situations because I know I'm doing what he's asking me to do.
I can sleep at night.
I can sleep at night. I can sit in a quiet room and not have to drown out my thoughts. I don't have to self-medicate. I don't have to do any of these things because in these things that I'm doing following God, in my yeses, in my obedience, I have inner peace.
Yep. You're free.
You're free. Freedom. And that is the freedom that everybody is looking for in all the things that we're doing, all the things that we're trying to cover up. We're looking for that and ignoring the fact that that's exactly what he gives immediately.
Think about this. With Daniel, he was captive. He was essentially a slave, and yet he was free because of the decisions he made.
Right.
And this is what you were going to, his heart and mind.
Yep.
Nobody can rule your heart and mind but you.
And when you're fired from your job, when the worst outcome happens, how can those people have peace? I look
at
some people. No. I'm talking like they do have peace of like, I did the right thing and I still got fired and whatever.
Yeah. The person who's being integrous.
Exactly.
Not the other people.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you look at those people of like, man, your whole life is a dumpster fire. How do you still have joy?
Yeah. And they're like, because I feel great. I'm like at peace for the first time.
And isn't
it's
that
okay.
amazing? It's the peace that goes beyond our
understanding.
And I would say like that is one of the instant rewards. That's a guaranteed reward is fulfillment. That feeling of like purpose and fulfillment and honoring God. It comes with that, with God's peace. And that's what's cool. I'm wondering, I'd like to go somewhere with this because we do need to acknowledge and address something. Back to what Angie, you were talking about, Israel is experiencing this because of their disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a democratic republic.
Negative.
This is not today. And I think a lot of people abuse the context and they try and take everything that's happening in a story like Daniel and bring it all into today. That's not accurate.
Nope. You got to bring the history part.
You got to bring that context. You got to bring the history. So what we're trying to do this series is what can we bring in today safely? Like that's the reality thing we can bring. And the reality is this reality of like, You rule your heart and mind. It doesn't matter what atmosphere you're in. You can choose to honor God in that atmosphere, and that is the right thing to do. We have to understand that in our day, we're not ruled by Persia or Babylon or Rome, or we're not held captive. I mean, there's aspects where we're kind of like modern slaves or held captive to our culture, but that's the part where it relates today is our culture is overwhelmingly influential in our life. Everywhere we go, we're forced with media, music, workplaces, whatever. And what are the ways in our own life today where we get to choose to honor God in the midst of it and get to reap that reward of peace and actually be built up spiritually? Right?
It's so similar yet not, because we are, we're quote unquote free, but we're not, because we think we control everything. We think we control where our life is going to go, what others are going to do to us, what we're going to end up as someday. I mean, you tell a six-year-old, what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be? You should have this figured out. You should have it all. They don't know. I don't know. I'm 42 years old. But
figuring it out.
That's the heart of it, is your heart.
Yeah.
Is you are only in control of your choices and who you follow.
Yeah.
And that is where your peace comes from. Are you going to choose to follow Jesus, or are you going to choose to follow Satan? Are you going to chase after all of these instant gratifications that within hours at this point lose their luster, and you're like, well, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. Or it worked for a minute, and now I need something bigger or better or stronger. Or am I going to follow Jesus, where in the midst of whatever anybody chooses to do to me, because we may not have dictatorship or slavery, but we put ourselves in relationships, and relationships can take that same control over your life.
Yeah.
Think about marriages. How many marriages end simply because my spouse won't do what I tell her to do or tell him to do?
Right.
I can't make him change. That wasn't the point of marriage.
Well, and I saw to that, I look at our culture, what is equal to maybe Daniel's day is Daniel has a belief system, and the world around him has a belief system. Mm. The world around him is telling him to do all these things that are against his belief system. And I look at our world, and our world right now, our culture is filled with do whatever you want. This is okay. And I see a lot of Christians that are totally falling into that. Mm. Oh, I can live like this. I can act like this. I can drink this. I can do this. Whatever it is, they are doing it all, and they're like, oh, I can be a Christian and this. And I'm sorry to say, the scripture does not agree with that.
Right.
And this is a weird spot that we live in, because we have a clash of kingdoms, just like Daniel did. Yep. And that's something that we can pull into this moment is, are you living as the scripture is instructing us to live, honoring God, or are you not? And I will say that everything that Daniel was following it's not the same today. So I'm not trying to say, hey, we're exactly Daniel, but we do have clear instructions since the New Testament as far as like what is okay and what's not okay, and what's honoring God, what's following Jesus, what's not. And I think it's time for Christians to reevaluate in their life what is going on and what are they pursuing? What are they allowing? What are they listening to, you know?
Yeah. This is, Angie, this is something you touched on, but like the side effect or the result of our continued disobedience, the 1 degree in the wrong direction has led us to a point where we are chained in, we are strapped in of our own doing, to a point where we are finally confronted with a decision to be obedient and we can't move.
Yeah.
Yep. And I love that. I hate it, but like, the realization that we are entangled, so spider web, sticky bondage, that what can we do to get out? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where so many people are. I find myself this way in a lot of areas is, well, what's the point? I'm so dead, or I'm like, well, Michael, you said it the other day. Well, I'm already going to hell, so I may as well have fun doing it. What am I supposed to do at this point?
Yeah.
Well,
the first step in the right direction is so much harder.
Absolutely. What tiny thing? Because sitting still, it's like you're safe. Mm-hmm. You're stuck. You're in this safe spot where if you choose sin, well, that's bad. But the move of anything positive is impossible.
Yeah.
And sitting here in nothingness, sleepiness, zombiedom is safe. But it's not, because it's inactive.
Yep.
And disobedience. Yeah,
and that's what you said. You've gotten to a point where your muscles to choose the right
absolutely
have now atrophied to the point where taking the tiniest of steps is
incredibly
a huge
hard
deal.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it feels super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And how is the only way, the example I used is the patient in the nursing home, like going to do rehab. What exercises is the physical therapist and the occupational therapist giving them? The most insignificant
movement. That's all they can do.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But as a able-bodied person, what good is that going to do? That's ridiculous. Why would I ever do that? Do that tiny little thing over and over again, and you're going to be able to do something bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's the same thing in our life. That tiny, minute, idiotic thing that is one grain of salt in the right direction means something.
Yeah, it's getting off the fence. And I'll put it this way. It's choosing to get off the fence. I will say it this way. The fence can be lukewarmness too.
Oh,
and
totally.
We see that in Revelation. In the middle there, Jesus is saying, like, you know, the Lord's saying, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be cold or hot, because that lukewarm, that where we live in this culture where a lot of believers, a lot of Christians or so-called Christians, they want to live both things. They're like, I'm going to do all this during the week, and then I think that if I show up on Sunday and listen to a message, that somehow that's enough to, I don't know what they think it is, enough to do
it's a
whatever.
Check in the box, man. Yeah, that's all but, that's required.
But it's their own check in the box that doesn't even exist to the Lord. Like,
well, that's
he's glad we're there.
Told him to do.
He's like, hey, I'm glad you're here. Now follow me. Yep. So I think it's like we got to wake. You said it.
Wake up, bro.
Wake up. And that was the uncomfortable moment is wake up. And then you had a great, I loved the exercise that you did, which in church world is
so
crazy. Yeah, because you're like, hey, just grab your stuff, get up, and move to another seat.
This is my spot.
And people are like, what? Like, there's people that have sat in the same spot in church for 20 years are like, no, this is my spot. And it's like, no, it's not actually.
I'm supposed to sit here and listen to you. That's what I'm supposed to do. Nope.
Yeah. And so I'm going to say this in a much more global sense, that the church at large, the body of Christ, so many of the body of Christ, churches, groups of churches, that body at large is atrophied. And it's like, I'm going to use a metaphor analogy. If you've ever seen the movie WALL-E, and they're floating around on these little things, and they're all obese.
They don't have bones.
They don't have bones.
Their legs
they don't
are
have
so
muscle.
Tiny.
They're like jelly people. And they're
like chubby and also so little.
They're chubby people, and they push buttons and they get things. And I feel like, and that's radical. It's ridiculous. There's a lot of people that are not like that. I'm not saying it globally. I'm not trying to say this is a blanket statement. Blanket statements don't work. But I'm saying is that's a good example of atrophy. They're overfed, underworked.
And overfed on what?
Oh, yeah,
sorry, I'm
junk.
Just going to be, well, and milk. Like, it's a bunch of like, it's like
smoothie,
having a G-tube.
It's
a G-tube of, or I don't know, is that the right term?
Yeah.
Yeah, YouTube. You're just getting like the nutrition in a shot instead of
and
actually
that's, maybe
having
that's
to do
what
work.
It's like showing up on Sunday and just listening to the message. It's going to take action. It's going to take action in your life.
It starts
in your family. Like, where in your family are you not being a Daniel? Where in your family are you allowing things to happen that dishonor God, and you're not willing to make the hard decision to be like, hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're not doing this crap anymore. Or then, where in your workplace is the same thing happening, and you're being challenged on the inside? You feel the conviction, but instead of standing up, you stay quiet, and you're not working out that muscle. Or where is God asking you to do something, and you keep making excuses of like, I'm not going to do that. And this is reality for all of us. I don't care. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here, and I face this stuff all the time. I know you guys do as well.
Yeah.
It is a journey. It is not a destination. So if you think you're going to start doing it and like get to a level, there's no levels.
Have fun with that level.
Yeah, have fun.
Shane, I think you essentially just Americanized in James what it says, faith without works is dead.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the works. It's not working for my salvation. It's my faith being active and alive is coming out in my everyday life, in my Monday through Saturday family and job and friendships and all of that. Faith without that is I'm so paralyzed I can only sit in the chair, and that's it, and that's dead. Mm-hmm. And so that really just sums it up. In that's like, you know, that I'm going to say that's the SRV, the Shane's Revised version.
I think that's true. And I want people to know, if you're convicted right now, you're listening, and you're in that spot, it's okay. Just start. It's one little movement, one little step. And I will say that so our muscle gets stronger, and we just keep going stronger and stronger. Every day we're going to face moments of decision and get stronger and stronger and stronger. Choose the way of the Lord, and you're going to get stronger and stronger. Here's the cool part. You're going to feel the fulfillment. You're going to feel closer to the Lord. You're going to feel like you're honoring him. There is a positive reinforcement to your
Here's the kicker. I was going to say, here's the kicker. You're going to be able to sit in your chair at night without any noise and be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and that is a gift.
That is
something. It truly is a gift.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Laying in bed and going, I can just sleep.
You're like, oh, this feels good. And obviously, there's things in life where you might not be sleeping very well. I mean, just there's normal stresses. But I hope that you're picking up what we're putting down, because this is why we want to go through this series with Daniel and Babylon, because there's a lot of Babylon-like things in our world, and we have the opportunity. When you stand up for the Lord and you're set apart, you become salt and light to the world. And that's what Jesus has called us to be. And that's what we want to challenge ourselves in this series to be, to actually do it. Christians that look exactly like the world are not doing anything for anybody.
And I think another really important point is the things that Daniel is called to, you're not called to, I'm not called to. You're called to do very specific things.
Yeah.
And then also, God wired you and created you just like you, and there's nobody else on planet Earth like you.
Yes.
So why would we think that we compare ourselves? That's the world that we're living in right now is comparison. Well, you have to be uniquely you.
Yeah, don't compare. We were just talking about it before this morning. We have people in our church that have businesses in our community that are doing incredible ministry daily.
Wow.
And that's stuff that none of us here at the table can do. They are doing exactly what God has given. God's given them a platform or a space of influence, and they're doing it. And we're encouraging you, if you're listening, you are doing ministry.
Yep.
We need that. You are doing as important ministry that as anybody else in this church is doing.
Way more far-reaching.
Yeah. And that's what we need.
Pulpit.
Yeah, exactly. Keep on keeping on. Do what you're doing. Honor the Lord in what you're doing. When you feel prompted to pray for somebody in your workplace or in public, just do it.
Do it. Do it. Just do it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. Let's end with that. Jacob, will you pray for us?
Lord, be with us today. Help us to know those 1 degree shifts that we need to make. Lord, help us to know your voice, to trust you and to stay faithful to you. Lord, today we declare that we trust in your word, we trust in your power, we trust in your will, and we choose to live in the peace of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.